while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I think, wasn't it the psalmist that said, "I was glad when they said unto me, come, let's go to the cinema." No? Come, let's go to a party. No? But they're good, right? Come, let's go to Alton Tower. Well, some people find Alton Tower scary. Come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And as always, it is wonderful to be in God's presence with you, His children. Let me do this. I'd like a show of hands, please. Show of hands. And don't be shy. How many people here would describe yourselves as a person of doubt? You say to yourself, "I'm a person of doubt." How many people? Okay, some hands, not others. How many people say, "I'm a person of faith"? Let me see the hands. Okay, I see some people are doing both. Okay. You see, doubt is not something that we don't like to talk about it much, because so often doubt is seen in a negative light. We see doubt as a negative thing. It's like, "Oh, I don't want to talk about doubt. I'm a person of doubt. Who's going to say that?" Yet doubt, faith, light, sight, these are all interconnected things, aren't they? They say seeing is believing. How many people here abide by that? Seeing is believing. That you're a person that goes with that principle. Let me see. Okay, not a lot of hands. Yet, I'm convinced that every single one of you here abides by that principle. Let me demonstrate something to you. I'm holding up two fists, right? Right? Can you see my fists?
Yes.
No, if you can, no, don't be shy. Can you see my fists?
Yes.
Okay. If you believe I'm holding up my fists, I want you to shout yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you can see my fists, yes? Okay. If you believe I'm holding up a banana, I want you to shout yes. I need some intercessors to remember this man. If you believe I'm holding up a banana other than Emmanuel, let me hear you shout yes. Okay. If you believe I'm holding up a sandwich, let me hear you shout yes. If you believe I'm holding up a 50-pound note, let me hear you shout yes.
Yes.
Okay, a couple of people said that. Most people were like, "No." Oh, all of a sudden, they're like, "Ooh, I'll have that." Yes. I mean, let's do that again. If you believe I'm holding up... If you believe I'm holding up a 50-pound note, let me hear you shout yes.
Yes!
So if you believe I'm holding up a cat, let me hear you shout yes. If you believe I'm holding up a 50-pound note, let me hear you shout yes.
Yes!
So what changed? You saw the 50-pound note.
No.
You saw it before. Yes. You said yes, yes. I'm talking about those who said no, or who didn't speak. Well, I mean, well done you still don't get it. Pardon? You said yes, yes, but you still don't get it. Sorry, look, came from the pocket, back in the pocket. Yeah, trust me, I had this all planned out when I came out this morning. So what really happened? The truth of it is the rest of you shouted that yes because you saw the money. Seeing is believing. And sometimes on our Christian journey, we want to see. We want to not just see, we want to see it all. We want to see it clearly. We want complete understanding before we even commit to God. Yet He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to take a step of faith, to take a leap of faith, if you will. I want to show a clip from a movie that many of you will remember. This movie came out 37 years ago. Let me look around the room. I can see some people that, you know, you weren't even an idea 37 years ago. So this might not be so relevant. You may have seen it over time. Sometimes it's shown around Christmas time. It's one of Sumi's favorite movies growing up. In fact, I understand it was a favorite of the entire Staveley family growing up. It is from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Watch this. Have we got audio on the PC? Yeah. You can go full screen for this.
That's good.
Don't worry, it'll play. It freezes, it'll play. Yes? No? Maybe so? Oh, no. Should we just wait? Wait a moment. And I will trust. So how many people know what happens in this scene? Some people are saying no. So what happens in this scene is I should fill for time. The media team are like, they're on it. The technical people. Let's see what happens. Yeah, so they're saying, so what happens in that scene? He comes out of the cave. He's following some instructions to get to what's known as the Holy Grail. His dad, who's played by Sean Connery, has just been injured in a fight. And he's following the instructions, and he gets to that particular point. There's a book in his hand, and he has to follow the instructions in the book. So hopefully it'll play this time. He knows he's going the right way.
Only a leap from the lion's head. Prove his worth. Nobody can jump this.
Izzy! And you must hurry! Come quickly!
To leap over the lion's head, you must take a leap of faith, it says.
Leap of faith.
So when he followed the instructions, he got to that place where he was standing. He couldn't see it clearly. He had to take that leap of faith, trusting that it was there. And so today we're looking at those times when God calls us to make that leap of faith. We can't see where that next step is going to land, but God is saying, come on, do it. Make that leap of faith in those times when doubt arises, when nothing seems to make sense, when we're feeling weak, our faith seems weak. And every single one of us as Christians, no matter what height or depth or length of time you've been a Christian, every single one of us at some point has struggled with the issue of doubting faith. All of us. Those times of anguish when our faith slams into the bottom of the valley. When it feels like there is no hope. The anguish of having doubts about God. And you know, unfortunately, that's not a place that the church, it's not a subject the church handles very well. And yet it's an area that hits every single one of us at all times. Someone once said, I wish I could be as sure of things I cannot see as I am sure that 7 + 3 = 10. And in some regards, that encapsulates it for us, doesn't it? It covers it for us. We have to contend in the same way, believing in the God, the invisible God, the God we haven't seen, whilst dealing with the nagging distrust that comes from the things that we can see. And we see it lived out in the passages of the Bible. God's people contending with the same issues that we're contending with today. Adam, Sarah, Jacob, Job, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Thomas, Jonah, Martha, Peter. These are people who questioned, who faltered. These are people who doubted, who hid. And yet, somehow, they remained faithful even to the end. And I think for many of them and for many of us, the struggle is summed up by the words of the Father in Mark chapter 9, who says to Jesus, you know, do something if you can. Jesus is like, what do you mean if I can? Well, what does if you can mean? What is that? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying? And Jesus says, everything's possible to them that believe. And the boy's father responds, I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Isn't that the same with us? We believe, but it doesn't mean we don't struggle. We don't have times where we falter, where we slip up, we trip up. And yet God helps us with our unbelief. I want to point three things out about that we can do, or three things concerning our faith in this context. Number one, faith and doubt can coexist. It is possible to be a person of faith and a person of doubt. It's just that we typically don't, you know, we don't admit to being a person of doubt. A lack of faith and great faith, both ends of the spectrum, can exist in the same person. And isn't it ironic that in Scripture, we almost see a reversal. You know, the people who are possessed with great faith, if you look at their stories, you'll see one end where they're absolute people of disbelief and doubt, questioning and fear, and another end where God is doing astounding miracles in them. The example is the centurion who said to Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house to heal my servant. He said, just say the word here and he's going to be healed over there. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such faith, such great faith. This is a guy who's saying, you know what, do it remotely. You know, before the days of Zoom and Teams and StreamYard and what else, Skype. What happened to Skype? Anyway, let's... Remember Skype? Some of the young people are thinking, what? What's he saying? Skype? Or think of the Canaanite woman. I mean, this woman had the Syrophoenician woman, other translations. This woman had a hard time with Jesus. She sought Jesus out. And Jesus tried to put her off. Yet she was persistent and persistent. And she won him over. If Jesus effectively insulted this woman. A lot of people would have taken offense at what Jesus said, but she was like, that's your business, you and your offense. I came here for a miracle, and I'm not leaving until I get one. And Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Now, why would the centurion, the Canaanite, these are people who, they didn't have Jewish roots. Why would they put their trust in Jesus when his own people struggled to accept him? And contrast that with the people who should have known better, Jesus' own neighbors, his family, the people who doubted him. John the Baptist was his cousin, and he questioned him. He questioned his identity. The 12 disciples, Thomas, would doubt him. Peter would deny him. Judas would betray him. All of them would abandon him. John the Baptist was his cousin. He says, dude, are you the one we're waiting for, or like, is there another one? You'd expect his cousin to know. Now here's the exciting thing. The thing that gives us hope is whatever the grain of faith these people had, God could work through it. We sang that song, God will work it out. All he needs, all you need really, is that mustard seed, that tiny grain of faith. Whether it was the bold centurion, or the doubting Thomas, or the distressed father who said, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus always embraced faith, no matter how small that faith was or is. So we see that faith, and we see that faith and doubt can coexist. The second thing is that a lack of faith, or what we might call, or second thing about the lack of faith, second thing about doubt, is that doubt can lead to discovery. When we have questions, when we have even doubts, it can lead us to a place of greater faith. We start to explore, we start to seek, if you're really seeking the answers to your question. And we see it played out in this dichotomy of the verse where he says, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. It's like, do you believe or do you have unbelief? What have you got, belief or unbelief? The answer is he actually has both. But because he was willing to learn, he was willing to change, he was open to listen, he was open to grow, he was open to hang in there, he saw that miracle performed. And so often in life, and I'm sure this applies to I'm sure virtually all of us as I look around the room, so often in life we look back at difficult times And we look back with not so much pain when we realize and we recognize that we grew most in that season. In that season of challenge and difficulty, we look back and we go, actually, do you know what? I came through that stronger. I came out stronger on the other side. You've heard me say this many times. The richest soil is not at the top of the mountain. It's in the bottom of the valley. And I think maturing in faith is very similar. Maybe when we look back on our own life, we realize it was only after a time of questioning, only after a time of doubting, that we ourselves began to grow in faith and understanding. Questioning and doubting that motivated us to search for the answers, to search for the truth, to search for God, to explore, to pray, to read. And with that said, the third thing that I want to share is that there are some things that we cannot know. That's just truth right there. As much as doubt can lead to discovery, sometimes discovery leads to the recognition that the area we're trying to access, that area has been closed off, it's been cordoned off, it's been roped off by God. That's not for us. It's not something for us to know. I heard about a book called The Encyclopedia of Ignorance. So I know, right? Encyclopedia of Ignorance. So I went to go look it up and I found it. And the description of the book, some of the text, it says, the usual encyclopedia states what we know. This one contains papers on what we don't know, on matters which lie on the edge of knowledge. And then they conclude that the questions don't end. As we gain more knowledge, it brings more questions. As we gain more, I've said it here before, that education is the revelation of ignorance. The more educated you become, the more you realize you didn't know, and the more you realize there's more that you still don't know. How many people remember the singer Johnny Nash? I often talk about him in this context. Johnny Nash, yeah, put those hands up. Yep. Jean's nodding. She doesn't want to put her hand up. Yep. Birthday girl. Yep. Johnny Nash, all of you just now, you showed your age, yeah? He sang a song. He sang the song, I Can See Clearly Now.
The rain has stopped.
Yeah, that's right. Although, you know, it's not a song we should be singing in the UK right now. We could really do with some rain. I mean, this drought, I mean, gardens are suffering right now. Anyway, the song I Can See Clearly Now, it was released in 1972. The album had the same title, I Can See Clearly Now. And I've often made reference to another song from that album. And the chorus of the song says, there are more questions than answers, and the more I find out,
the less I know.
Woo! And then when we say, who wants to join the worship team, you lot sit there with your hands in your pockets. There are more questions than answers. The more I find out, the less I know. I went to do a theology degree. You know, my first year I was really excited. Woo, find out about Jesus. My second year I was like, I'm not so sure about this. By the third year, nobody was answering questions in the class. Tutor would ask a question, the place would be silent. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody, because every question felt like an ambush. The more I find out, the less I know. And I think it's similar with our relationship with God. The nature of who he is means that the more we know, the more we grow, the more we understand, the more we realize that there's more to understand. The deeper we go, the more we realize that there's still more that we can, or deeper to go. And so, as much as I believe that doubt can motivate us in our search, I believe that there are things that we do not know, and we cannot know, and we will not know. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to God. You keep your mind on what you know. And I really love that. You know, stay in your lane, God is saying. God has the secret things, and that's okay. It's to be expected. I mean, think about it. Again, I've said this. We're human. He is God. We're finite. He's infinite. If we were to completely understand him, if we were to completely, the day we fully understand God is the day he ceases to be God. That's the day he ceases to be God. So there will always be unanswered questions that we will grapple with. So how should we deal with our doubts? Well, I believe that our doubts should be explored. I don't believe doubts should be ignored. You know, look at John the Baptist. He wasn't sure. He's like, hey, cuz, you know, I mean, we grew up together, you know. So cuz, are you the one, cuz? Yeah, what we do, I mean, obviously different accent, but you know my point, right? He's asking, are you the one? He had those doubts and he explored, he asked. And I tell you this, God is not threatened by your doubt. People around you might be threatened by your doubt, but not God. In the Bible, the book of Job, books of Job, book of Habakkuk, Ecclesiastes, we see where God is openly embracing honest doubts that are seeking honest answers. And what we find is the more that we explore these books, the more we explore these doubts, the more we start to find answers. And sometimes we're not comfortable with those answers. Sometimes the answers are answers that confront us with things that we don't want to think about in the first place. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's easier for us to just blame God, you know, and question God and leave it there. In our weakness, in our wavering faith, God gets blamed for all sorts of things. And honestly, saints, we need to be careful about that. I heard the story of a bus. These guys were a bus of people, 70 people on a bus in Mexico. They were going to a religious gathering. Unfortunately, there was a really terrible accident, left 36 of them dead, including many children. And somebody online was asking the question, why would God do this? You know, and I understand those kind of questions. I understand, oh, they were going to a faith event, and, you know, why would God do that? Let's ask questions, but let's ask the right kind of questions. The right kind of questions. Questions like, why were there 70 people on a bus that was built for 40? Let's ask the right kind of questions. What happens to the issues of overcrowding? Who was responsible for that? Perhaps road safety maintenance was left. You know, the exceptionally bad judgment on the people who drove the bus, people or who organized the event. There are many factors here. Asking why God did it, I don't think points the blame in the right direction. You know, just like somebody who went to a therapist one day, a young lady went to a therapist and said, oh, there was a guy I was dating years ago, and then I became pregnant, and I have my son now. You know, why would God allow that to happen to me? Like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, girl, you were there. That's not quite how it works. It's not. You know, but on the truth of it is, psychologically, it's easier for us to blame God. It's so much easier than for us to explore our own doubts, explore our own questions, our own trauma, our own pain, discover what's really behind what we're experiencing. Because sometimes exploring those things shows responsibility, and sometimes that responsibility is closer to us than we would want. Is God really responsible in both examples I just cited? And yet it's our nature, our mortal nature, our fallen nature, to lash out at the one who is immortal, the one who is not fallen. And so sometimes when we explore our doubts, it brings us to conclusions we're not comfortable with. But I do think we have a responsibility to explore our doubts, explore our questions. So let me wrap this up. It is important that we continue to trust God as we explore our doubts. Even when we're in situations and seasons that don't make sense to us. Job was struggling with so much sickness. He was taking pottery shards and he was scraping the sores on his body with them. We read about it in Job chapter 2. During that, he looked for answers. His wife's advice was, just curse God and die. I'm not sure what kind of therapy school she went to. But you know, but that was the beginning of the story, where Job was searching, he was questioning, he was querying. By the time we get to the end of the story, Job said to God, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too great for me to know, things too wonderful, things too marvelous, other translations saying, things that were bigger than me. That's what I was trying to get involved in. Let me tell you, just like Job, we're not always going to be in a position where we understand. We're not always going to. And the real way forward is for us to trust God. That word again, trust God. Trust the infinite one. Trust him to carry us through it all. We need to trust, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were going to be thrown into the fire. The king said, Nebuchadnezzar said, you've got to bow down and worship the idol. And they said, we will not bow down and worship the idol. He said, I'm going to throw you in the fire. They said, you can throw us in the fire. Our God is mighty to save. And then they said, but even if he does not. Making a decision and saying, even in the challenge, even in the difficulty, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will praise my God. What awesome faith. And it leads me to my final point, and that is that we are to carry on. Like these Hebrew boys, you carry on. You see, there was a what they didn't know was how hot the fire was. What they didn't know was whether they would be thrown in the fire. What they didn't know was how long they would last in the fire. But guess what they knew? They knew that God was good and they should worship him. So they continued in what they knew to do. There will always be things we do not know, and we could spend our days consumed with the issues of the unknown. But rather than going down that rabbit hole, let's focus our minds, focus our attention, focus our faith on the things that we do know. And an example of this is seen in the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus. You know, I want to point something out, Matthew 28, 16 and 17. Now, something I noticed for the very, very first time as I prepared. I've read this before, I've heard this before, but I didn't actually notice it. Matthew 28, 16, 17 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Look at the last three words of the text, but some doubted. Now, I've seen that before. They worshipped him, but some doubted. But look at the three words just before. That's what I didn't actually notice. They worshipped him. Saints, they may have doubted, but they were worshipping. The doubts didn't stop their worship. They responded to Jesus in faith, not in doubt. How many times has something happened and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to church. You know what, I'm not praying. You know what, I'm not reading my Bible. You know what, all this whole Christianity malarkey, ain't nobody got time for that. All of a sudden, something you have believed and known and experienced to be true, one thing happens. Saints, I'm not trying to be funny, but you know, you saw me put to that test. My family, we journeyed in that together last year, didn't we? And I said it before, even on a bad day, God is still good. I don't worship him because of the day I'm having, I worship him because of who he is. And I want to encourage you, ask God to help you with your doubts. Ask him to accept the things you know you cannot control and continue with the things you know. Some of the disciples didn't fully understand what was going on. They couldn't comprehend it. But here was Jesus right before them. Jesus was, and the Jesus they knew, they worshipped. And that's my counsel to you in times of struggle, in times of failing faith, faltering faith, carry on and worship. Worship him. You'll come out on the other side with a renewed faith, with renewed hope, with renewed passion for the things of God. I'm sure there are loads of things that you don't know or situations where you don't understand what to do. My challenge today is don't worry about what to do in the new situation. Do what you already know to do. Worship your God. Are you doing what you should do? Have you been faithful? And are you remaining faithful in the things that God's already said? Is there a decision perhaps that he would have you make that you haven't moved on? Maybe he's told you he loved you. He loves you. He's paid the price for your sins. He's pledged his life for you. He asked you to pledge your life to him. Have you done that? Have you confessed him as Lord? Have you been baptized as a visible outward pledge of your life to him? Are you living a life of submission and humility around those he placed you? Have you reached out to that person, apologized to that one? Have you made that call, sent that text, repaid that money? Have you apologized for that thing? Have you fed your faith? Have you starved your doubt? Well, he is here and he is here right now. And if you need to do any of those things, today is the day you can do them. Today is a new day. Today is the day you can reconnect with him. Today is the day. And as you yield to what he has said, may today be the day where you truly declare once again, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, and you see him come through for you in all areas of your life.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.